series on peace. And the Lord really wants us developed in his peace. Today, he wants to show and prove that Satan has no power to keep you locked up and away from God's peace. His peace is a part of his spirit, but the prince of the air doesn't give up that easily. He's a master in controlling people's narratives, but it ends today, God said. It ends today. The ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. You're going to get an understanding of how he deals and what he does and where he's located. And so we're going to start off by describing the prince of the air. If you can hear me, just say amen.
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 If you're ready for total victory, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, we pick up here talking about the prince of the air. You already know who the second prince is. It's the prince of peace. But we're going to see who's truly prince. We're going to know it for sure. And you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that the shalom of God is always, always your place of victory. And you can never be held from it. Okay, the prince of the air in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, and you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by natures the children of wrath, even as others. We talked about on Thursday, we did a throwback Thursday from a message in 2019. And that message was really dealing with the fact of how Satan tries to build walls and bulwarks, blocking us in, and ultimately blocking God out. And what he does is he creates a citadel or a castle, or it's what they call strongholds. And he does it through our own intellect, which is crazy. Truly, truly genius. I'm not going to deny it. It's truly genius. He does it with our own intellect. He causes us to get into hyper situations and anxious situations. And he's always trying to have us locked in a place where our minds are always rushing, running, and just keeping basically the process and the way that God would do things out. And he locks us there. And it does start, I'm going to be honest with you, it does start with him. There's something in you that he recognizes, and he pulls on that, and he has a way of moving through the air. And I just want to explain to you the type of snake he really is, and how he does have this ability and the endorsement from God to do what he does. He does have power over what Kurt taught a long time ago, the lower denser air. He does have power in this atmosphere. He does. And I'll just show you here the word prince. First of all, I just want you to see up here. Note that here it says to the prince of the power of the air. That P, just look at how it's lowercase, that has significance. It says here, the word prince here means first in rank or power. It means chief or ruler. It means magistrate, ruler, or commander. I kind of like the word commander here when describing him, because he does begin to command things in our intellect. And that's where it starts. It starts in our minds. It always starts in the mind. You won't fulfill anything with your body if your mind hasn't already gone there. You're not going to do anything outside of your mind being influenced by him. So he has this ruler. He's been given the authority, commander. He's actually he's first in rank, or so he thinks he is, and or power. And so what the word power means, it's the same word as it's exousia. And what he has here, exousia means here, ability. He has mastery, all right? He's got token of control. I like this definition because it really puts it in its proper place. He has a delegated influence. A delegated influence. Yeah. He's got authority, and this is, or so he thinks, it is his jurisdiction. And in a sense, it is. It is. Outside of the realm of peace, this is what he has. He has ability, mastery, and control. He's got delegated influence. He's got authority and jurisdiction outside of peace. Now, we're not going to give him all that credit to make it seem like that he has full control. But outside of peace, he's the dude. He's the one. He's the first in rank. Outside, I keep saying it, outside of peace. Mm-hmm. And so he likes to ensnare us here. And he's the prince of the power of the air. Now watch this. This is where he is now. It's basically his breath, which we know that the rhema is the breath of God. And it's his doctrine that we're receiving. And we receive basically the life of God through the breath, because there are truly, there's this minuscule, they're so small, but there's the blood gets on your atmosphere when rhema is there. So the life of God is produced by the blood. Well, Satan is trying to do the same thing Jay taught us a long time ago on demonic rhema, that he tries to spit a demonic rhema, but in that same atmosphere is the life of Satan. The life of Satan is also in the atmosphere outside of peace. That's why, hence, it's still the breath. It's particularly the lower, as Kurt taught, denser air, as distinguished from the higher and rarer air. So he is prince in the lower region, the earth's atmosphere. He would be considered the prince here. He can't go out of this here stratosphere. He's got to stay. This is his jurisdiction. Can't even think about tapping into the higher, rarer air, because that's where God is ruling. But he is what's called circumambient, which means circumambient means he's surrounding. He surrounds, and he's on all sides. You can't run to China and think you're going to outrun Satan. He's everywhere. He surrounds all sides. You can't think that you're going to go take a break. And even I'm going to tell you the truth and go, and say, okay, I'm going to go to the beach today. And I need some time away. I've been having a rough time. He's still there. He's still there. The only place you run from him and get away from him is in this rhema word that produces this wonderful covenant of peace. So he's on all sides.
Amen.
You can't go to the park and say, I'm going to chill by the water and get my mind right. No, no. If God's not going with you, Satan is going to still rule the atmosphere. All right. So he's encompassing. The word encompass means to form a circle about and or to enclose you. That's what he likes to build. And we talked about it in the throwback on Thursday. He encloses us in our own intellect. It keeps the peace of God out, and it locks this chaos and this mayhem, this fear, this doubt, and it really uproots us from the authentic realm of being in faith. And so he is the prince of the power of the air. He's got delegated influence. He's got jurisdiction here. Think about this now. Every time we back off our rhema word and every time we step out, we're now moving into the jurisdiction of Satan himself, to where now he has delegated influence and authority to kind of lock you up. That's why it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that would try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Satan is always trying to block this here and block the skill set of God from being able to manifest peace, the shalom, and then it becomes shalom again. And so we get caught in these traps that he has. We get caught in this circle and we're ensnared and enclosed by him. So often when a situation comes up, if we don't handle it by the rhema word, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. If we don't stay in the rhema word, my goodness, That peace is the only thing that's going to stop him from controlling the narrative that he has, the outcome Amen. That he desires. Amen. He wants to rob, kill, and destroy. That's the outcome. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's looking to do. He wants to control the narrative to where he's stolen from you, killed, and destroyed. He's everywhere. The only place we've got is the peace of God. All right? So Satan is first in rank with power to influence the minds of men, having delegated authority and jurisdiction in the lower, denser air, that should say. We'll change that in a minute. He has power in this earth's region. He really does. He really does. That's why it talks about the kingdoms of our God have become, the kingdoms of this world, have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. God's kingdom is peace. And when peace sits on the atmosphere, it changes the dynamics and it changes the narrative.
Yes, it does.
It changes everything. The enemy is pressing. Listen, the enemy does not like you. Jesus said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you too. And it does. It does. The prince of the power of the air hates Christians. He doesn't like you. He's not on your side. He's not trying to help you. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's on all sides, everywhere. He's constantly bombarding. Everywhere you go, there's a trap trying to hit your eye gates, your ear gates. He's always bombarding the gates of the Most High servants and children. He's always coming at us. There is no rest here. Only in Christ, only in the rhema will we find it. All right. So now we kind of have an understanding of the first prince. We see that he does truly have delegated influence and authority. It's real. It's real. Whether you think so or not, it's absolutely real. And that's why you go up and down like a yo-yo. That's why we go up and down like a yo-yo, because it's only because of our own inconsistency. If you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. I'm trying to tell you this right now. If you give him any type of influence, if you let him slip in and disturb you and uproot you from your place of perfect shalom, shalom. If he takes the first shalom, the second shalom is nowhere near coming. And he knows this. Oh, God help us. All right. Jesus. But thank God for the Prince of Peace. It says, for unto us in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I love this, and I love studying this, because, boy, you're going to see how the Prince of Peace, his title and office,
Hallelujah.
Trumps the Prince of the Air.
Bless God.
Prince of the Air. I looked at this fun fact here just alone as I'm scrolling up in my notes. If you're watching the notes, I looked up here and I noticed something here about the word prince here. Even in the spelling, he uses a lowercase p for the devil. And then the spelling here in Isaiah 9:6, for unto, he says the prince, he titles him with a capital P.
Amen.
You won't even give him credit or give him your status here, even in the spelling. Mm. And I thought that was funny.
Amen. Now,
look at the definition here of prince. It says a head person of any rank or class. Then it says, the definition is ruler of rulers of God.
That's God.
Jesus is the ruler of rulers. Satan is a ruler, but Jesus is the ruler of rulers. He's the head of any person of any rank or class. He outranks him completely. The both words prince, they give them a type of authority, but the word prince here, I've never seen this definition before like this. I've never seen it distinguished where it even sets, and I love how God did this here. I love how he did it, just in the word itself, how the word prince here coming from the Hebrew declares him ruler of rulers. It declares him, even in their title, it still says, I still outdo you. I still outrank you. There's nothing that you can do to me. Now, it makes me understand over in Mark 4, it makes me understand something. Look at this just real quick. I'm not going to, I didn't cut and paste this on today, but it's not here on the notes. But just listen. When that storm rose up, when he was asleep on the pillow, now I understand, my God, the prince of the air had influence over that storm. Yes. He had influence over that storm and that category 5 hurricane that was blowing out there. But then we take a look and take a gander at the prince of peace asleep on a pillow, as to say, you couldn't hurt a fly.
Yes, God.
Now everything is going crazy in the storm. Jesus, all his disciples are losing their minds. But look at the stillness of the Prince of Peace. He knew that the Prince of the Air could not touch him. His time had not yet come. He knew that no weapon that he was forming against him could prosper. In fact, I'll one up on you on this. He even knew, my God, he said, I gave him authority to do this. This is child's play. This is nothing to me. What a slap in the face to the devil, as Jesus is sleeping and he's got one of the greatest storms, category 5, never heard of a category 6, but a category 5 is blowing out there, and he's still sleeping, as I say, please, devil, and what you gonna do to me? That's how we should be when the enemy's blowing winds and blowing all kinds of turmoil. We should be just like the yes. Prince of Peace, because we're in his peace. Mama.
Hallelujah.
Moving as rulers of rulers. Having authority and power over every bit of the authority and power of Satan. We should not be moved by these things. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. He meant exactly what he said.
Unmovable.
He had work over there. Yes. Nothing that the prince of the air could try to conjure would stop him from getting to where he said his father said he needed to go. And we ought to know the same thing, that there is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. So now, the one who controls, listen to this note, the one who controls peace controls all. Period.
Amen. Amen.
The one
Amen.
That has control over peace controls all. We see Jesus call the storm into himself, and it was still. He controlled his princely office, trumped the princely office of Satan. And it did then, and it does now. And if peace is there, listen, if peace is there, then the storm is already over.
Oh, yeah.
The one who controls peace controls all. Satan is no match. The power of peace will break you out of Satan's strongholds every single time. As I said, even the spelling of prince is different from each other. Satan's office has a prince begins with a lowercase p, as opposed to Christ being an uppercase p. He doesn't match the power of our God, the God of our peace, on any level. On any level. Now, look here. You've read it before. We've been reading it since we've been in the series on peace. But look at this here. His princely office was actually really delegated and from the Prince of Peace. He got it from him. He gave it to him. It says, behold, in Isaiah 54, 16 and 17, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. Yes. And I have created the waster to destroy. Now, just think about that. Mm-hmm. The prince of the power of the air only delegated authority.
Oh, yes. Amen.
He said he does the things in which I delegate him to do. These things are delegated. He is the major tool for the trying, and he's the tool. Let me tell you something. He's the fire that purifies our faith. All the hell that's coming at you, man, peace should be right there. With the shield of faith up, should keep you in surrounded by peace. But he's the one, God uses him to become the fire, my God, that will purify your faith. By allowing him, delegating him to try you, that's all it is a trial. Don't be moved, stay in the rhema word and let peace rule.
Amen, God.
That's why he said here in verse 17, that's what he means. He said, listen, I created this guy. Yeah, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. I did. That's why he tells you in verse 17, no weapon that is formed against you. I heard you this morning, evangelist. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn.
Man.
Lord, how do we condemn the tongues? How do we condemn the muttered whispers? How do we condemn it? How do we condemn it? By staying in the rhema.
Yes, God.
Peace will condemn it. Shalom, shalom will condemn every weapon that's been formed against
Hallelujah,
you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
You're never going to be beaten here. Up earlier in the chapter, he tells us, he said, listen, no longer will I be angry with you. We're done with that. Neither will I rebuke you. That indicates we will have ups and downs. We won't be perfect, not as of yet. We'll get there, but while you're being perfected, there's still no weapon that is formed against thee that shall prosper. Your righteousness is still of me. Even in the midst of your imperfections, blessed are you that I do not count sin against.
Hallelujah.
Blessed are you that I impute, that I plant righteousness into. My rhema word keeps you in the righteousness. So therefore, there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. So the prince of the air and all of his muttered whispers, all of his planting and trying to make you anxious. My God, come on, man. Come on, let's anchor down some more. Come on, more grace here, Lord. More grace, more influence. Get us there. Get us there. Keep us there. Keep us here. Because your peace is my indication that you're controlling the narrative to my story. And you said, yes. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I got thoughts that are good and not of evil. I've got hope and a future for you. I don't have anything negative that I'm thinking about you with. I'm thinking about how it's my pleasure to prosper you. I'm thinking about how it's my will that you be healed. I'm thinking about the outcome.
Hallelujah.
It says you're victorious and not a loser.
Hallelujah, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, God.
I know what I have for you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
And I'm controlling the narrative. Let my peace give you the indication. Let my peace fortify your position in authentic faith. Let it cause you to remain here. Ooh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
His authority and rank came from God. Please tell me how he could possibly have the power to bind Christ. The reason why I said Christ is because that's exactly what you're getting when you're in the rhema word. Please tell me how in the world, while the Lord is giving you rhema, how in the world can you be bound in fear? I think the Bible says this, the word of God is not bound. It's not bound. It can't be bound. Satan can't hold you in one of his strongholds while you're moving and thinking about how to win and how to get. No, he can't. Get your mind off of that and get it back into the now conversation. And watch peace break you out of that stronghold. This is why propitiation sets in the midst of all hell being around you. His peace stops the winds of Satan all the time. All the time.
Amen, God.
His peace right now is handling your intellect on how to win. The shalom of God is so strong and so thick on this line right now. My God. My God, there is not one bound soul on the line right this very moment. Every soul on this line is first of all propitiated. So now in propitiation, recognize that you're in the covenant of peace. You're enjoined to the Father right now. You've been enjoined. You are enjoined to him. The covenant of peace is in full effect. Yeah, now he wants to shalom the shalom. He wants to perfect it by manifestation. If you just take a moment right now and just thank him for the first shalom and invite the second shalom in. Hey. Invite, Father, we invite the second shalom. Let it be made manifest here today. I don't care the circumstance or situation.
Yes.
With you endowing us with the first, it's an indication that the second is to come. Just yes. Like Alpha yes. is an indication that he's Omega too. Ah, shalom is an indication that the second shalom is here. Alpha.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
The beginning and the ending.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let the second shalom be the ending. Let it be what has destroyed the yoke, removed the burden. Let the second shalom come. We invite you.
Hallelujah.
You've already blessed us in the first. You've already blessed us in the first. Now release the second.
Yes, God. Yes.
Further confirmation of scripture we read already, but we read again. It says in Colossians 3:15, now I understand a little bit better. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I see that for what it's really worth. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Amen.
Let it rule. The word rule there means, we know it means he becomes arbitrator when it's ruling. But watch this. I like this. It means it governs here. Now, you can see how it becomes a weapon against Satan, because now peace begins to govern. And not only does it govern, but it also means to prevail. And now watch this. This now will direct and control you.
Hallelujah.
It does. Yes, it does. When the peace of God is on you, it begins to direct and control you. You become one with it and you start to actually try to protect it because of what it's doing for you and how it's causing you to be in a tranquil position. Now it begins to cause you to make right and better decisions because you don't want to lose what you have. You don't want to give position to the prince of the air any longer. You're liking it. So now you prevail in this. When it rules, man, it governs. And then it becomes what Kurt was talking about, the technique. It's the technique how we get resolution for our disputes. But I like here today, it just means it's pointing out to govern and prevail. To direct and control.
Bless God.
Satan has no power here. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He has no power here. It really does indicate too that you really are in authentic faith. And my goodness, with that faith and peace being a driving force behind it, man, I dare you to speak into your atmosphere from here. I dare you to open your mouth and rebuke the devil. I dare you to say unto your mountain, be removed. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jesus stopped the storm because he was all peace. You got the same ability right now. You have the same anointing that was on him is on you right this very moment. You have the ability. We have the ability to stop it. Yeah, the movement of our mouth shouldn't be done in silence when we recognize peace is governing. It's controlling and ready to prevail. So when his peace rules your mind, you've essentially entered what the Lord told me. He said, you've entered into the day of the Lord. You've come out of the prince of the air's day, and you've entered into the day of the Lord. You've entered into the realm where his kingdom governs and where kingdom prevails. You see, when you're not in his peace, you're not in faith, which is obvious. You give the prince of the power of the air power to govern and control the narrative of your life. But you being in his peace truly is an indication that you're in covenant with him. You're his and he's yours. And that's all it is.
Amen, God.
You're the two cherubims up on top of the mercy seat, the seat of propitiation. You were both in agreement. And that agreement really, really, really excels covenant. It releases covenant. And that's where all those other definitions of peace start to set in, wholeness and prosperity. Covenant is in full operation here. My God, if you ever could speak to him in this rhema language that you have. We shouldn't be speaking to him in any other language but the language of rhema that we've got. Every prayer, like Kurt's been teaching, should be prayed by rhema. And even in your daily conversations, you should be speaking a new language. This rhema language should be coming off your mouth. You should be saying stuff like, I feel and sense and discern your peace is all around me. This is my indication that you and I are in perfect allegiance. We're in harmony together, Father. You have the ability. I'm upholding my end of covenant. You got me. And from here, this is where you begin to release your end of covenant. Prosperity, wholeness, tranquility, shalom, shalom, shalom. All of this. Start the shalom in my life. Cause my enemies to shalom me everything that he's stolen. See, that's your rhema. That's your rhema language. See, that's how we talk to God. This is our faith. That's just a sidebar. All right, so I'm about to wrap up here, but we got a little bit more to go. A greater confirmation that peace has given us true access to the Father and his kingdom. I'm going to read from, this is Ephesians chapter 2 still. This is all chapter 2. And when you get a chance, you need to go home, man, and you need to really check this out. You need to or be at home and read Ephesians chapter 2, at least verses 1 through 18. And look at how it all works together. Look at how it all comes together. It's really, really powerful how it all comes together. From dealing with the prince of the power of the air all the way down. And so you'll see how dynamic it is. You'll see how dynamic it is in what God is doing and how God is doing it. By first of all, showing you the prince of the air, then it keeps trailing down, down, down. And we pick up in verse 4, and it's just amazing how peace is all in this here. It says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. All right? And it says, and hath raised us up together. Watch how, because of the prince of the power of the air being paralyzed against you, now you have been raised. Watch, you leave his atmosphere and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're no longer in the atmosphere of the enemy. You're no longer where he has control. You have transcended atmospheres that in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And I know that's right. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Watch this now. Here we go. Wherefore, remember that in ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, we had nothing to do with this. We were strangers, talking about when we were really just walking in the prince of the power of the air. We were way out of the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers, look at this, and strangers from the covenants of promise. We had nothing outside of peace. And I'm going to show you that peace has everything to do with this here. Outside of it, we're strangers. We're like strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, stuck in this atmosphere. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's that propitiation. Watch this. For he is our peace. You see that?
Amen.
Amen. This is why this is all happening here. This is why we're no longer strangers to the covenants of promise, because he is our peace. How? By his blood, propitiating the minds, getting us out of this atmosphere of chaos and elevating us into the heavenly places. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, talking about us and Israel, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, talking about us and Israel. We're now on the same level. And we're beyond those that are without Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, it's only by, if they come into the peace of God, we will be one. We're already here, praise God. But now they've got to make their way back. But watch this now. And that he might reconcile both unto God. By how? By the body, by the cross. In one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Watch this. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father.
Amen, God.
Oh my God. Listen to this now. Let me break it down for you. What happened here is he made us one. Coming into this covenant of peace, and he really made me understand this here in this particular verse of scripture. And he came and preached peace. And I thought back on the messages of Jesus. And I said, Lord, I don't really remember one message that you really, you preached peace about. I remember you preaching about the kingdom, you preached about the Beatitudes, you preached about hell a lot, you talked about hell an awful lot. I don't really remember you preaching peace. And this is what he said to me. He said, why do you think you have peace? Listen to this now, guys, this is really powerful. He said, my peace is interwoven into every word I spoke.
Yep.
Everything I declared was revealing peace.
Amen. Amen.
Everything was revealing peace. It is the fabric of all of my messages, which are empowered. They're powered by my love, but the word is revealing peace. Every time I spoke, every time I opened my mouth, I said, oh my gosh. He said, this is why you have access unto the Father, because peace is in every rhema word.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Peace reveals itself and manifests itself here in every rhema word. The rhema could be about tithing and giving, but my goodness, peace is going to be on the atmosphere. It's in the fabric of all of the rhema. He said, everything I preached was peace. He said, this is why you have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Because the Spirit, the Rhema word, is the Spirit. It's the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's the Spirit of the word, which is all about peace, manifesting it between you and the Father. We have complete access, and my goodness, if you're with the Father, how in the world can the Prince of Peace dominate your mind any longer? the prince of the air, how can the prince of the air dominate your mind? And you're with the Father. You have access with the Father. He's not coming in there. The prince of the power of the air is not coming near you here. So we, what at one time we're far off, but we've been reconciled, and this reconciliation has led us to peace. It's led us here. This is really manifesting in our lives right now. This is really transpiring in and on our lives right this very moment.
Amen. Amen.
This is happening. Peace. Shalom. Shalom. It's taking place. It really and truthfully is. So what can we say? What can we say? We're going to let the prince of the air dictate the narrative, or we're going to let the prince of peace do his thing? I think we're going to all let the prince of peace do his thing in us. Bringing us to the first and second shalom, and then manifesting the shalom, where the enemy is at peace with us. And in that peace with us, he might be angry, but he has to restore everything he stole.
Amen.
So bottom line is, every rhema word is totally surrounded on every side with peace. That's why we feel so good, man, after sessions like more group and Tuesday prayer and Thursday night rhema studies. We feel amazing. We're lifted up, we're charged, we're ready to go. Because every word is filled with his peace. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made, then says the Word was made flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us. If he preached peace, he was just basically, he's revealing himself. It's him. This feeling of peace that you even have right now, listen, he's there with you in the room right now. If you have peace, if you have peace, I'm telling you right now, if you've got peace, then he's in the room. He's manifested himself. No questions asked. You can reach out, you can grab him, you can touch. If peace is there, Jesus is there. The Father's in the room with you. He's really there. He's Shammah. He's Shammah. Oh, glory be to God. He's Shammah. Right now, go ahead. Reach out to him right now. Don't delay. Talk to him right now. Talk to him right now. Praise God. Ooh, Jesus. Take a moment before I go any further. Take a moment before I close out. Take a moment. Talk to the Prince of Peace. Talk to him. Oh, hallelujah. Master, for your presence, for the peace that you've procured upon us is amazing. What you've given us is so, so amazing. Your Shammah. Your Shammah, Master. Shalom, shalom. You're here with us right now. Shalom, shalom. Every word is releasing peace. My God, it's battling the atmosphere of the prince of the power of the air. You're building walls, just like Kurt said. You're building walls. Your bulwark is going up. You're surrounding us. You have become the prince of the power of the air for us. We breathe the higher, rarer airs, Lord. We're in your atmosphere. We're not in the lower, the denser. No weapon formed against us can prosper here. We're safe from the havoc of war. We're safe from it all. You're here. You're here, Jesus. And I give you praise. I give you praise, Lord. Elder Allison says, hallelujah. Elder Donna says, amen, amen, hallelujah. Bless you, God. Joshua says, amen, amen. No more. No more. It stops today. It ends here. No more. I speak freedom. Freedom over you from the havoc of war with Satan, from the havoc of war with your own intellect that he fuels with his lies. I speak freedom, and I speak the peace of God over you. I speak the peace of God in you, on you, working for you. And I speak the anointing over your ears that you might hear this gospel of peace. That you will always be in position to hear peace, peace. Every word will reveal his peace. And every word will release his peace. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Amen. That's all I've got for you today, guys.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.